from one doctor on behalf of every doctor, nurse, carer and frontline worker. Please remember these important rules. Stay at home. Only go outside for food, health reasons or work if your work definitely can't be done from home. Stay 2 metres, 6 feet away from other people. Wash your hands. Anyone can spread the virus. Stay at home. Protect the NHS. Save lives. You've got this.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
TV Zone Plus, hosted by Paul Mount and Scott Holmes.
Hello, welcome back. It's the TV Zone Plus podcast, returning from isolation and lockdown to return to talk about films and television, books and all your favourite things after a short break. Slightly different podcast to the normal type because Scott and I... Hello, Scott.
Hello.
I'm Paul Mount, by the way.
Hello from all the way over here.
All the way over there. We're actually doing this remotely, so you'll have to make allowances for any slight drop in the sound quality. We've been experimenting with different formats, and this seems to work okay. So we're not actually together, which is a first, really. We always record the podcasts in person, face-to-face, but now we're doing it remotely, which is a bit weird. But the TV Plus will prevail. We will fight through.
It will continue. Yeah,
we will continue. We'll fight through this very strange time that we're living in. It's taken us a couple of weeks to get our heads together for various reasons, which we'll go into, but we're back, hopefully doing shorter shows every week until the end of crisis, yeah. Rather than a big fortnightly block of 2 hours. We'll probably do an hour or so every week, just not to keep you updated on what we're up to. And
Let's be fair, we do say this every single time. We'll try and shorten it down. And even with the less content that we've got, we'll probably find a way to make it 10 hours.
Well, let's try and aim for 2 hours. See what we do. Yeah. Anyway, once again, we're back. It's TV Zone Plus with Paul Mount and you.
Go home!
Yay! And we're doing a lockdown from our respective gaps. It's a funny old time, isn't it, Scott? It's a very weird situation at the moment with the world literally on standby.
It is really
bizarre because I haven't been out the house. Well, apart from little bits of essential shopping, not been out the house for weeks. Haven't seen you for about a month, which is one of the better side effects of the virus.
It's a gift for you, isn't it?
It's all I've ever wanted, really. It's a dream come true. But it's just very odd. It's an odd world to be living in at the moment, and it's quite scary. But it is genuinely quite scary when you think about it.
Very, very scary. I mean, before we have obviously kickstarted, you know, you've heard at the beginning of the show the doctor giving her sort of side of things. But if we can just say here, if you are ill or have lost anybody through to the coronavirus, then our deepest condolences. If you are just ill from it, hopefully you'll get better. I was ill myself recently. I was never diagnosed to have coronavirus, but apparently I had the symptoms. I pulled through. Fingers crossed it was just a cough, nothing else. Then again, I could say fingers crossed it was the corona because I've survived it and hopefully there's an immunity time. Fingers crossed everything that was the coronavirus and I'm fine. I'm one of the lucky ones. But if you are dealing with anything to do with it, then you have our utmost thoughts and respect and from here. And stay safe.
Anybody who's suffering from it or in self-isolation because a member of the family's got some symptoms or something, it's a difficult time. And as Scott says, all we can do is just wish you well and hope that you can come through the other side. And I think that's all we can do at the moment is look forward to, say, 6 months' time when hopefully things will ease off. And
you might need to mute your phone. Come around through so loud.
Everybody wants to speak to me, Scott. I'm so in demand. But no,
I don't blame.
But it's very odd, isn't it, at the moment? We've been in lockdown for nearly 3 weeks, and I'm a bit annoyed that people keep on going on in the news about when the restrictions are going to be lifted. Well, it's not going to be for ages yet, so stop building up hopes. It's just annoying. You put the news on, and journalists are asking the government, when do you think we're coming out of this? When are the restrictions going to be lifted? Well, it's been 3 weeks. We know what it's like. People have been out and about breaking those restrictions anyway. If you keep telling them, oh, the restrictions are going to be lifted, even if you give them a hint of it, they're going to just disregard, go out. So we're in this for the long run. It's going to be a good 3 months, I think, before things are eased.
Well, the thing is, I think we've now surpassed fatalities in Italy. 900 odd deaths over
Wow.
one night, two
That's
nights
the
ago. And the thing is, people, I've read people saying, they need to enforce this lockdown. I said, but they have. And then when you hear, there's a beach called Barry Beach around by where we live, and that was about 2, 3 weeks ago. This virus does take about 2, 3 weeks to
Yep.
show its symptoms. So it's those people that thought they
Yeah.
were better than this virus went out and had a good time. And I'm sure they
Yeah.
had a lovely time, but I can imagine anybody that, heaven forbid, may be suffering now, wouldn't think it's worth
So
it there.
is it worth
So,
risking your life and the lives of other people just to have a good time in the sun for a few hours on a beach? Not really, but I just think that
exactly. And there, people have to realize it's not just
yeah,
their
that's
lives they're
it.
risking. It's everybody they come into contact with, whether it's loved ones or just people you
But I
walk
think part of the
past.
problem is that there is this element in society that will not be told what to do. They want to go out. Nobody's going to stop them. They don't care what the risks. They want to go out just to show that they can. And that's
It's a strange form
it
of
is. That's what
privilege,
it's an
isn't it?
entitlement, a sense of entitlement. And it's particularly this rebelling against authority. Nobody's going to stop me doing what I want to do. Well, yes, you will. We will stop you, because it's just ridiculous. People have to.
Nobody might stop you, but the virus
Yeah.
might have a good
And then just
chance,
people, just it's only a
and
small, it's a minority of people who don't seem to be taking it seriously, and they're the ones who are putting everybody at risk. So if you're one of those people, I know our listeners aren't those sorts of people, but yeah, everybody stay in. There's plenty to do, there's plenty to watch, plenty to read, plenty to see. It is frustrating being stuck indoors. I'd like to be able to go out and do the things I used to do, but I can't do them because they're not there to do. So you just.
Well, the thing is, the key is get some indoor hobbies. I've heard loads of people say, "Oh, I'm bored," and I've seen are videos of people challenging each other to down drinks and get absolutely hammered. And it's all going wrong. Everybody likes a nice little tipple every now and then, or most people. But find an indoor hobby. I play my computer games. I watch TV. I've got Warhammer models that I paint. I play the ukulele. I got audio books, paper books. Countless things to keep me occupied every day. That so I'm not always watching TV every day. I'm not always playing games
Well,
every day, although I do.
then that's no change to your usual routine, though, is it? Because you do play games. I'm trying to have a bit of
Exactly.
structure to the days, and I'm trying to get up. I'm not sitting in front of the television all day because I don't want to fall into that trap. I'm trying to ration the work and magazine things I have to do, a couple of other writing things I'm trying to do. So I try to do things in the morning and then chill a bit in the afternoon after lunch, maybe just sit out in the garden and read. But I'm trying not to put the TV on until about 4 or 5 o'clock because I don't want to become that couch potato 2 weeks into this lockdown.
You don't
Yeah.
want to become
Oh,
me, is what
I
you're
wouldn't
saying.
like to say that, but I think that would be a subtext of what I'm saying there, really. So yeah, at
With
the moment, then we are
potato.
all pretty well and just battling on through. Not sure
Thankfully,
what we can do.
yes.
We mentioned about that Jodie Whittaker clip at the beginning of the show, which I think is a wonderful little clip. She did another one a couple of weeks ago, which is really nice as well. And what do you think? I'm throwing in the curveball here. What do you think about celebrities who are doing things like this, doing these little video clips and putting on performances and things? Ricky Gervais does, and
Why
he does a
not?
thing every night, a half hour thing, which is really funny, just him talking to the camera about his day. You've got various celebrities doing singing songs and doing bits and pieces.
Thing is, the celebrities that are doing it, okay, there's probably a large sum of them doing it for the publicity. It's like, oh, during the lockdown, I was this to my, but at the same time, being a celebrity, an actor, comedian, that kind of thing, it does come with a job description, and one of those job description is to keep your fans happy. And if every half an hour I can sit down and watch Ricky Gervais tell some jokes because I'm a massive fan, then I would appreciate that, and great, more power to him. I know there are people kicking off about people saying that they're on their boats and stuff like that, and It's like, well, stop having a go at them. They've got the money to have that boat, you know? Just because we all want the money to
This
have
is what
that
I,
boat, let them
you know, these people are
do it.
damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. So if they don't do anything, people are going to say, oh, look at
Exactly.
Bono sitting on his yacht. He's not in touch with people. But if they come online and sing, what can they do? They can only sing a song to try and keep people's spirits up or tell a joke or something. It's what they do. They are,
Oh, you see Simon Pegg and Nick Frost do a couple of Shaun of the
brilliant
Dead
little things
things and
referencing
stuff.
Shaun of the Dead, which are just really nice things to do. But there's always people who go, oh, look at them in their mansions, they're quite safe. It's how patronizing. Well, they're in the position to help and do something to move people's spirit. I don't see anything wrong with it. But again, it's human nature that people just this entitlement and it's jealousy as well. They're not in that position and they resent.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong, I'm jealous. I'd love to be in the position, but I appreciate people trying
Well,
to find
you know,
ways of
envious people, you know, they've
entertaining
got off their
people.
backside and they've used their talent to become successful. Why shouldn't they do a little bit to help people who aren't successful? I don't see why people have this bitterness about them. But
Exactly.
yeah,
One last little thing before we do move on to the actual show. I think we should just give out our massive respect and gratitude to
of
all the
course.
emergency services, everybody that's working, probably 10 times their usual amount to tackle the coronavirus. And the thing is, it's all the way down to people that are still working in supermarkets or being security for places and things like that. And then obviously, the big ones, the medical services, and all these people that are still out there doing their thing, working hard, protecting us at the same time as trying to. Thank you. Thank you very much to anybody that may listen. Nobody might ever hear this kind of message that it's meant for, but
Know how much
it's
they,
always nice
you know,
to
supporting
know
the
that they're
people
out
on the front line and not making the things difficult, really, just,
there.
you know.
There are people that have come out of retirement and to go back into the field to tackle. People, it goes to show that, yeah, okay, there's a lot of people moaning about these, this, and the other, but there are those heroes out there, and massive gratitude from both of us here at TV Zone Plus podcast, and keep doing what you're doing, but make sure you have some time for yourself. I did see a video or a message of a nurse, and she had dolled herself up, and people were giving her flak for it. And I thought, well, let her. She's probably doing 23 hours work, shifts. In that 1 hour, if she wants to put a bit of makeup on to make her feel a bit better, hey, more power to you. You do what you want. And when this coronavirus is done, anybody that works in the medical services, I think you should have a
Well,
massive buffet to
it's social
themselves.
media at its worst, unfortunately. It's the warriors, like the keyboard warriors sitting there complaining and moaning because it's what they do. And I have this vague hope that when we come out the other side of this, people might have learned to be a bit more reflective and a bit kinder and a bit, but I don't know if that will happen.
It happened
Well,
yet.
you know, just going back before we start the show, but going back to that little Jodie Whittaker clip, really nice little clip. Somebody posted on Facebook. I just went to look at the comments almost immediately. She shit. She's ruined Doctor Who, her and Chibnall. That's not the point of that post for you to start off.
Point of the post was not to say to give criticism to her Doctor Who performance, which I think
I
personally
think
is
as well,
wrong. I
you know,
think she's really good at
we talked
Doctor
about
Who,
this
definitely
before. She
on
said,
her
you know,
own.
this whole series improved a lot last year. But that particular video isn't the point where you go, oh, she's terrible. She's not my doctor. Well, we don't care about that. She's just sending a message out in support and just to
She's not going to be many people's doctors at this point, because generally you find that when people say my doctor, it's the doctor they grew up on or they're connected to. And she hasn't been around enough to be connected to, and she hasn't had enough children to have kind of
And that's it.
grown up with
40
her,
and 50-year-old fans aren't going to respond to her in the same way as a young audience now. That's the whole point in the series, which is why John Pertwee and Tom Baker are my doctors, because I grew up with them. I might like some of the other ones less or more, but they're the ones I think most fond of because they're the ones that connected with me most. So, yeah.
It's the
Just
old
grizzling
nostalgia
50-year-olds
kick, isn't
groaning online. Oh, not my doctor. Shit. That's not the point. Go away. So I tried not to engage them in conversation, but I did. I did a little bit this morning. Then I left them to it. But anyway, that's social
Sometimes
media
it's
at
too
its
bad.
worst as usual.
Well, Everybody who is listening, though, I hope you are all doing well. Don't be shy to get in touch because, why not? And if you do get in touch, we probably won't be able to put it on the hour or hour-ish long shows, but we could kind of look into doing a couple of videos a week, the recordings a week, if it's just the case of sitting in our own homes. So please, please, please get in
They
touch.
can get
Paul,
in
how
touch
can
with
they
us
get
on
in
our TV
touch?
Zone Plus Facebook page. They can email us, tvzoneplus@mail.com. That's how they can get in touch, Scott. That's exactly how they can
Wow.
get in touch. And I would just like to say that once again, all contributions of Whisper Goals would be greatly appreciated. Just leave us a message and I'll explain how to get them to us. Me.
Mean, I don't mean
Paul likes Whisper Goals. You like
I like
what?
flat screen cheese.
Oh,
Flat screen TV.
I thought
So
you said
any
raspberry cheese. What the hell is that? That looked quite nice, yeah.
Cheese, that
I
sounds
might
nice
have to go
actually.
shopping. Oh, no, I can't go shopping. Anyway, Scott, that's enough twaddle from us. What are we talking about in this episode?
In this episode, we've already done our intro and update. We'll let you know what we've been up to, but obviously not been a great deal. We are going to do a TV review on
Ooh.
The Mandalorian. Now, I know a lot of people have been looking forward to hearing our thoughts on The Mandalorian because we finally
Hooray.
have Disney Plus. Very, very exciting. Then Paul is going to have a little natter about another TV review called
Yes,
Tales from the Loop,
this is a series that
which I
dropped.
haven't seen.
See how trendy I am? This dropped on Amazon Video on April the 3rd. 8 episodes of a new science fiction anthology series. I'm a big fan of anthology series, and this is one rather different to your Black Mirrors and creep shows. It's a different sort of show for various odd reasons. Not to everyone's taste, but I will talk about that in a little bit. What else have we got, Scott?
What else have we got? We're also going to be doing, oh God, what's the screen? We're also going to be doing an
Yeah, the late
obituary
great
for Honor
Arnold Palmer,
Blackman.
a true legend of the small and big screen, passed away last week, and I think we have to say a few words about her because she's a massive, iconic personality from the Avengers and Bond and all sorts of things. So it would be remiss of us not to mark her parking, passing even. Although I don't know about her parking, I don't know about that. But I don't know how she parked her car. But it's very sad she's died. And then what we're
God.
doing?
Doesn't
No.
that car very well. Now we're going to be doing a Scott's Games Corner, where I have toddled off to play the Resident Evil 3 remake, which was released last Friday, along with the Resident Evil Resistance multiplayer game that came free alongside. So I'll be having a quick chat about my thoughts and opinions on that. Then we're going to the
Yes.
cinema, but in our homes, where
I've been
Paul
watching a
has
couple of
been
films that went
watching.
straight to streaming on demand because the cinemas were all shut. And those films are Vivarium, starring Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots, and a film called The Hunt, which is a
Hoots.
very interesting sort of horror thriller type film that was released just a week before the lockdown and has now come straight to streaming. And I'll be chatting about those two films.
Anything called The Hunt, or when you say The Hunt, it's really, really dangerous to say The Hunt, isn't it? Because you could mistake it and say The Hunt with a C instead,
But
so
the
you get The
hunk.
Hunt, but with a C. That was dangerous.
How would that work exactly? What do you
The
suppose?
Hunt. And you know what? I think we should have a little, before we do crack on with the TV review of The Mandalorian, let's have a little quick hello to Paul's sandboxes. They're still here with us.
And now I think
That's got to be one
it's
of my
time for a
favorites.
jingle. Top jingle. I might actually get a lockjaw
That was a fantastic jingle.
made. That would be quite fun. There's no escape,
A
even in
lockdown
lockdown. It's TV
jingle.
Zone Plus. Leave that one with me. Hey, I think we should have a
I will
TV
leave that
review
one
now.
with you.
The long-awaited arrival of The Mandalorian, which
Mandalorian.
premiered in November in America on Disney Plus. It's finally arrived over here, the first 8-episode season. I think about 5 episodes have been released so far. Slightly annoying that they didn't release them all in one go, they're sort of releasing them weekly over here, which is slightly annoying. This, of course, it's an odd, knowing that
It's a
people
bit
have been waiting, I mean,
strange.
knowing that people have probably seen them anyway, to be honest, because apparently there are ways you can see television programs that haven't been screened. I don't quite know how it works, but apparently there's a way. I don't understand these things. No, it's a bit too modern for me. This is the story of a character called him, he's a Mandalorian. You know more about this stuff than me because you're more versed in the Star
I
Wars world,
certainly
but it
do.
stars Pedro Pascal as Din Djarin, the Mandalorian, a gunfighter and bounty hunter.
Whenever I hear Din Djarin, though, I always think of that song, Din Djarin, Din
Oh,
Djarin,
yeah.
ridicule is
It's
nothing to be
charming.
scared of. It just sounds
It's
like
charming.
that.
I didn't
It's
mean that.
Prince Charming,
Incidentally,
Din
I
Djarin.
actually dressed up as Prince Charming in the answers of a fancy dress party many years ago. That's.
Were you in
What
disguise
jacket?
as
I have
Prince
all the
Charming?
makeup, I
Because
have
you
all the
couldn't pull
stuff
it
on. I had a bit
off.
of sellotape across my nose. It was great. I didn't win, but it was good fun. I did the dance. It was a special dance that went with it, where you put your hands up in the air. Look it up on YouTube. It's good fun. Anyway, the Mandalorian, Din
I know
Djarin,
the
is a gunfighter and bounty hunter who is a foundling rescued at a young age by Mandalorians during the Clone Wars. And in this particular series, he is enlisted by Greef Karga to. He's an
Who's a
ex-master of the
remnant
leader
of
of a
the
bounty hunter
Empire?
guild. I see, I know all this. I've learned all this stuff. It's amazing, isn't it? He is dispatched at the request of the client, played by Werner Herzog, to track down a valuable asset. And as the series progresses, the Mandalorian and the audience discover who the valuable asset is and how important he is. Question I have to ask, though, Scott, of this series, is this the Mandalorian you were looking for? Eh? 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 No,
I feel like you've stole
sure.
that from
I would
me.
never do that. It's all own work.
It was very good nonetheless. So we've had two primary Mandalorians previously. We've had
Okay.
Django
Was
and
Django Unchained? I can't
Boba
remember.
Fett. No, it was Jango Fett and Boba Fett. Jango Fett is was from the episodes 1, 2, and 3. Boba Fett is, wow, that was loud.
And just making sure you wait.
Boba Fett is the clone of Jango Fett. So they're the only real Mandalorians we've had, and neither of them were very, very impressive in the long run. Although Boba Fett was a massive sort of fan favorite until he went out like a chump. But Pedro Pascal as Din Djarin, the Mandalorian, is certainly the one that we've been needing for a very long time to really represent the sort of nitty-gritty side of the Mandalorian. The Mandalore is the planet that the Mandalorians come from, and it's all quite pristine and tidy. But they are, renowned for being bounty hunters. This is now set after Episode 6 and before Episode 7, so before the First Order coming to fruition. The Mandalorian is sent to find his little package, which turns out to be something called the Child, which is a member of the same unnamed species as Yoda. So a lot of people say, baby Yoda. It's not. It's just the Child. But people have, dubbed him
It
Baby Yoda because he looks like
is
Baby
supposed to be Baby Yoda.
Yoda. No, Yoda's
Was trying to
long
work
gone
out
by
because
this point.
not being a Star Wars aficionado, I
Yoda.
can't, even though I read about it, I can't really place it in the chronology of the series. I don't exactly know where it fits in with everything else. Yeah.
Well, Yoda's species has never been named. And there's only ever been, as far as I'm aware, two in the films. And there's just a female version of Yoda's race in the first film, but it doesn't make much of an appearance. But this series now, The Mandalorian, runs like a very kind of weird spaced spaghetti western. It's very gunslinger. The set pieces are absolutely fantastic. Feels very, very Star Wars. One of my biggest issues with going into anything Star Wars related is it going to feel like Star Wars? And Jon Favreau is obviously, he's got his fingers in all sorts of Disney pies now, like Marvel and such. And with Star Wars and The
Well, it's
Mandalorian, I
amazing
think I
that
really
he's
think he knocked
executive
it out of the
produced this.
park.
He's written most of the episodes, plus all the other stuff he's doing with Marvel. It's amazing that he's got his finger in so many pies, and he's done this so well. He's made it so as again as a non-Star Wars fan, it feels very much part of the Star Wars universe as we've seen it in the film so far. It's got that visual look, that aesthetic, the effects, everything about it just makes it feel at home. Star Wars.
And it feels like episodes 4, 5, and 6 Star Wars, not episodes 1, 2, and 3, where everything is glistening and shiny. It all looks very nitty gritty. I mean, the first planet that you see the Mandalorian on is it's like a sort of snowy, icy planet, reminiscent of Hoth. He turns up on this desert planet, which again reminiscent of Tatooine and stuff like that. So you get that very strong Star Wars vibe right from the off. The fact that massive props to the actor who
Pascal.
plays the Mandalorian, Pedro Pascal.
No.
He doesn't take his
Yeah.
helmet off to reveal his face to anyone, including the audience, which is
No.
something that's sacred to Mandalorian lore. And as we know, with most actors in
Yeah.
anything, they have to get some kind of face time. I want
Yeah.
my face to be seen so they know I'm doing this acting role. Because he, much like Carl Urban did with Dredd, keeps helmets on, plays the role incredible. I mean, the first scene in the first episode is like a bar fight scene, and it's just so cool. They use all the gadgets. The only thing I felt was missing, I was sat there thinking for ages, right, where's his jetpack? Because he's a Mandalorian, you want him to have a jetpack, because they just do. I don't think they're supposed to, but they just do. So, I mean, as the story progressed, episode by episode, the graphics were really good because there are quite a few CGI monsters that make appearances that all kind of they look like film quality, which I loved. I didn't feel like I
No,
was sat there
I
watching
mean,
some low budget
there
thrown
was
together
no, I don't know what the
creature
budget
just like.
was, but it looked to me as if every episode had a decent film-sized budget because they didn't pull any punches with the settings. And what I particularly liked about it was that before you go back to your sort of final, complete overview of it, I liked the way that it didn't, although it had the arc storyline of the child and that there were individual stories within that. So you could almost dip into an episode without having seen a previous one because you didn't really need to know that much. It reminded me in some ways of Doctor Who in a way, this sort of bloke traveling through space, having adventures with his companion, and every story set in a different place. It had that sort of feel about it. You didn't quite know what you were going to get from week to week, and I really liked that. You didn't feel tied into like a 10-part Netflix arc story where you know what you're going to get in the first episode, and it just regurgitates the same thing because it's different every week, and I really like that.
At the same time as well, you
No, it's
do
been
not
very well.
need to be a Star Wars fan to enjoy it. As much as it feels like the Star Wars universe, you can watch it as a standalone thing. And you could basically just say, as I said before,
Well,
you could feel like you're just watching like a Clint Eastwood film.
I think the whole, I mean, it's not a
Got
particularly
that
original
vibe.
observation, but I think the whole Star Wars saga is very much influenced by Westerns anyway. But you particularly get it with this series because there's even an
Is,
episode called The Gunslinger, and the music, which I think is fantastic. It's just classic. It's almost like spaghetti Western type music from
yes.
the films of the 60s, the Clint Eastwood films of the 60s. The music, that sort of percussive drumming rhythm, and
It's that little bit
the
of
whole
space
ethos of it. The whole
bounce
feel of
to
it
it.
is very much a Western in space. Even more like they used to say Star Trek was wagon train to the stars. This feels more like it than that, even. And I love it. And I thought I just like the fact the reality of it all the way through, the way they kept up the utter believability of this universe. Personally, I'm going to be controversial here. This is the best Star Wars experience I have ever had. Because you know me, I watch the films and I think, yeah, that's all right. I quite enjoyed that. But I really got engrossed in this. I really.
I completely understand that because it's done so
And
well.
there were lots of stuff that obviously nodded towards Star Wars with the sort of land speeders and the stormtroopers and droids and things. But I just found it more interesting here. Bearing in mind your lead character, you never see his face. He's effectively looks like a robot. And I think that's really quite a brave thing to do, to have a lead character that you sympathize with. You never know.
He's Well, he's relatively silent as well,
Yeah.
isn't he? But he still like oozes this personality. Pedro Pascal just like floors it with every time he turns on. You're gonna watch him, you know. You're gonna watch the main character, and he really,
I
really is
just
like makes that
I'm
happen.
really enjoying it. I think it's just a good old-fashioned space opera. I love the look of the spaceships. I love the way the spaceships creak and groan like
Yeah.
metal, and they fly through space. They're falling apart hard.
It's like I said, it feels like you're watching something created at the same time as 4, 5, and 6 in the 70s. You know, and I just have utmost respect for that. And I think Jon Favreau has rocked it. Talking of co-stars, because obviously the two main stars are Din Djarin and the child, who, by the
I
way,
just love the
is
bit
probably
where
one
he's
of the most
in the
adorable
spaceship
things
and he
in the
says,
world.
"Don't touch anything,"
Yeah.
and he's just pressing buttons and putting knobs.
It's what he's looking at, and he leans over
I
trying
loved
to
in the
touch
early
it,
episodes. It
and then
just made me
it's
laugh when the
so adorable.
Mandalorian's walking along and you've got this pram just flying through the air alongside him. Something wrong. Yeah, it just seemed, and when you get these looks at his face, this sort of little cute face, because I've always found Yoda so irritating, but as a child, as a child version of that race is really cute.
Well, the thing is, again, it's puppetry, which is always I always kind of prefer puppetry if it can be done over,
Well, it's
you know, the CGI, because puppets are really there. So when the Mandalorian picks him up, you know he's actually holding him. You know he's picking him up, and it's just I love that. But extra cast out there, you have Greef Karga, who's played by Carl Weathers. Which is a pretty big name. They also have a very surprise appearance.
Yeah, this
Well, I
was.
say
Yeah.
appearance, but a voiceover from Nick Nolte and Kuiil, who is he's an Ugnaught, which in episode 5 is where you see a lot of Ugnaughts on Cloud City. They're basically mechanics and stuff, much like what Kuiil is. And he's a really, really good character. You know, he gets integrated into
But
the
it's
he's
like
in
you
like
say,
the
the whole
second
cast here, if
episode.
you look at it, I mean, as I say, the client,
So yeah.
is played by Werner Herzog, who's a really respected German film director. He really does sort of new wave German films, very not obscure
Yeah.
films, but quite arty sort of films. And he's playing the client, this sort of bloke with stormtrooper bodyguards. And it's a real unusual to see somebody like him casting someone like that. It's really bizarre.
The first time you see the stormtroopers as
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
when that door opens, it was like, oh my God, it's real stormtroopers. It was a big
Yeah, that's right.
surprise to see Taika Waititi, the actor of Thor Ragnarok and others. He was IG-11. Now, IG-11, people would know IG-88, which is from the again, he was one of the bounty hunters along with Boba Fett, who was hired by the Empire to find Luke Skywalker. You barely see him in there, but in this, you just get to see what the IG droid can do. It's awesome. We also had Gina
She was great.
Carano as
She's really
Cara Dune,
good. Yeah.
who was just brilliant. She was such a fantastic introduction of a character, because most of these characters they tend to come together at different points throughout, so you don't tend to see them once. But when she was a really nice countermeasure to the sort of
Quite nice
somber,
when she turned up, because I
quiet
did
image
notice the
that
first two or three
Mandalorian
episodes,
was.
there are no female characters or no substantial female characters. And of course, then she turns up and you think, oh, yeah, okay, this makes up for it because she's such a strong character. It didn't particularly bother me that there were no, but it just goes to show that, you don't need to force things, that the female character turns up when it is needed in the story rather than just jammed into the first episode. And you appreciate her more than because, of course, spoiler, she comes back later on as and sort of pivotal to a later storyline. But she is such a strong kick-ass sort of character. She reminded me of somebody like Xena, the Warrior Princess, if you remember that. That sort of
Yeah, she's very well. She used to be a rebel. She was a rebel shock trooper, and obviously after everything happened, you know, she went her own way. Now the weirdest episode with like random people turning up in. Have you seen the episode on the deserted ship where they go in with some
That reminded
contractors,
me of
some
Blake. That
contractors?
reminded me of Blake. What's going on? Stop it. That reminded me of Blake 7 for
My
some reason,
God.
where he's got this sort of random gang that he's assembled attacking this ship and smashing robots. I thought there was a Blake 7 vibe to that.
Yeah. Well, we have Bill Burr, who's a stand-up comedian and also doing Epics for Family. Natalia Tena, who was in Game of Thrones
From
and Harry
Highlander.
Potter. Clancy Brown.
Is that
Brown,
and
yeah,
is that
when he
also
was
the
in it, I was like,
episode
oh
that
my
had Richard
God,
AOAD as the
it's
voice of?
Canyon.
Right, yeah. I mean, so
Richard
distinctive, his voice.
Ayoade,
Oh,
yes,
it's Moss. Brilliant.
Q90. It's
Oh,
nuts.
damn it. I'm not very able to turn that off
My
next time.
God, your phones.
Oh, stop it. Go away. Right, there we are. See how popular I am? It's ridiculous. People want to know that I'm.
It's
Well,
terrible.
yeah.
It's probably just Domino's offering you a
I don't
deal.
think that's happening. But no, overall, from what I've seen of it so far, I've got a couple of episodes, one episode to go, in fact. I'm really enjoying it. It's just a great piece of space opera entertainment. It's not heavy. The story is very straightforward. It's just an adventure series, and we get bogged down with so many of these heavy, meaningful coming of age, angsty teenager, Netflixy superhero things. This is just a good space romp, which is what I wanted from it. So I'm really pleased, and it doesn't, it's not all po-faced, and I like the fact it hasn't got all this Empire and Death Star stuff. It's just a story about a bloke having adventures in space. It hasn't got anything, no, the stakes aren't universal. It's just a bounty hunter trying to earn a living, and I think it's great, really good. I'm going to give it 9.
Max out of
I
10.
thought you would somehow.
I'm giving it a full on 10. Full on 10. Absolutely adore it. And I'm yeah, I'm because the last episode's coming up soon. Yeah, I'm gonna do another run through then. Has to be done because The Mandalorian is a must for Star Wars fans specifically, because as much as I have enjoyed the last three films, with some
Well,
pullbacks,
I think
this
the Star
is
Wars franchise,
Star
Doctor Who,
Wars.
is a bit
The
battered at the
Mandalorian
moment.
is Star
People
Wars.
are overcritical of it, I think. And I think that, like I said, I've always said for me, Star Wars, I watched the Star Wars films, go, oh, that I enjoyed that, but I don't worry about things that, I think a lot of Star Wars fans, again, like Doctor Who fans, want it to be in their image. They have a specific vision of what they want it to be. And if it's not that, they won't tolerate it. I don't have that. I just go in and think, well, I want to watch a space film that entertains me. And that's what Star Wars have generally done. And I walk away from them and don't think about them again. But so this fitted in really nicely because it's exactly that. It's a show which I've enjoyed. I could watch it again quite happily. It's not heavy going. It doesn't, there's nothing about it that makes you think. Season 2 has been filmed
And the
currently,
season
and I
two
think
is
obviously there's going to
happening,
be a problem
so
with the post-production because the film and television industry has closed down. So there's probably going to be a delay with it. Yeah. But of course, we know from the casting that Michael
everything's
Biehn
on
is
a
on
freeze
board
frame.
for season 2, best known as Kyle Reese in Terminator and the Hicks in Alien. And Rosario Dawson is on board. That's easy for you to say.
Game over, man.
In
Game
as
over.
Ahsoka Tano. I wish they'd give these people all new names like Steve. Yeah, that's easy. That's right. A former Jedi
Ahsoka
Padawan of
Tano.
Anakin Skywalker turned spy master Rebel Alliance.
So Ahsoka Tano was introduced in the Clone Wars movie, like the animated Clone Wars movie, when Anakin has sort of gained his not exactly his master class, but he was able to train a Padawan. He was given Ahsoka Tano, who she's quite hot-headed and stuff like that. Now, spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen the Clone Wars, but it's been out for a while now. So, but near the end of, they're actually making a very, very final season now on Disney.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you still there?
I'm still here. Are you still there?
Yeah, you just disappeared completely then.
Okay. I'll put that in my notes and see if I can work that
You've
out.
got, you've got, you've got to. They're doing a final season for Disney, so carry on from there.
So yeah, they're doing a final Disney fall. It's the final Disney, for God's sake.
Oh,
They're doing
Disney.
a final series for the Disney Plus. They're already releasing them
That
on
would be the end of the world if it was a final Disney.
open there.
How would we cope with that business?
Now they're already in the last. They're doing it on a weekly basis, and I'm watching them through, which is really, really cool. Yeah, she leaves Anakin because she senses there's something not quite right. She then made a return in Star Wars Rebels, which is sort of like a continuation of Clones. She actually has a small clash with Darth Vader and senses that she knows him. So it'll be nice to see her brought back, especially in a live action film. It'd be interesting to see her in.
Yeah, as long I hope it doesn't have you too much continuity with the Star Wars films, because what I like about this is you don't need to know that much. So I hope she just comes in as a character. You don't have to know all the backstory, because that would just start to bog it down a bit for me.
I imagine they'll put a mention in that she was like a Padawan for somebody, they might say for Anakin. But I hope they don't focus on it. It'd be nice to understand the backstory for people who are watching, but it's not going to have invisible subtitles. Go watch Clone Wars.
But I think what was nice about the Mandalorian, I didn't really know much about what a Mandalorian was. I had a vague idea. But if you've never seen Star Wars and you watch this, it's fairly obvious straight away that this is like a loner. He's a bounty hunter from this race of bounty hunters. Well, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know anything else about previous Mandalorians. And I think that's the line they should keep treading to sort of make it inclusive for people who don't necessarily know all the ins and outs of Star Wars. And that's why it worked for me, because I didn't feel left out. I didn't feel there was stuff I didn't know, because I could follow the story of the series. And that was really important, because if I got to episode 3, episode 4, and there was all these references to things that I didn't know or forgotten about, I would have thought it's not worth the hassle. But this is very linear. It's got its own story, its own characters, and I think it works on that basis.
And an incredibly adorable child.
Yeah, you don't want to say that in public, really.
As long as it's context, it's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, let's make sure we get the context.
Well, the context is here because people know what we're talking about.
Somebody might sort of fast forward, and there's you going, "What an adorable, incredible child!" Oh dear.
Yeah. I could just be complimenting someone's fantastic baby. Yeah,
you could be. So anyway, the Mandalorian is on Disney. Was it Disney Plus?
Disney Plus, yes.
Disney Plus, and episodes drop every Friday. And yeah, we approve of The Mandalorian. We'll have more Mandalorian.
100% improved. 10 out of 10.
More Mandalorian, that's what I'd say. Hey, yes. Scott, should we have a TV review? I think we'll have a TV review. That's a damn good
idea. I think it'd be these days, wouldn't it?
It'd be rude not to, really, I think.
It would defeat the purpose of this podcast.
I suppose it would, really. I've never really known what the purpose of this podcast was, so at least this gives me a rough idea. Tales from the Loop is a new science fiction drama series on Amazon Video, Amazon Prime, dropped on April the 3rd, so we're right up on the ball as usual. 8 episodes of a very curious season. They all dropped at the same time. And it's based on an art book by a Swedish artist called Simon Stålenhag, which I'm sure is on your bookshelf, Scott.
Certainly. Yeah.
They're very weird, sort of surreal sort of paintings. And the description of it says that Tales from the Loop explores the mind-bending adventures of people who live above the loop. Now, the loop is a machine. It's like a Hadron Collider type machine in this huge laboratory under a fictional town called Mercer in Ohio. And the series, each episode of the series is about the strange effects that this loop has, not only on the people who live in Mercer, but on the surrounding countryside and the whole environment. So strange things happen. There's one episode where snow goes upwards and gravity does peculiar things and buildings start to drift upwards. It's an anthology series, but in a sort of a loose sense, because it's all about different characters who live in the town. So a lot of the characters drift in and out of various stories. You may have character who's the lead character in a main story in the first episode, who then appears a bit later on but as a supporting character in another story. It's all about a number of different characters who sort of wander through the episodes. Now, one of the criticisms you often make of shows that we talk about is that nothing happened, it's too slow. This, I think, would
drive I'm terrible for that.
This would absolutely drive you nuts. Would absolutely, you would probably end up eating your fingers, because you would be quite understandable for you to watch this and think nothing happened in it, nothing happened in it, which is the point in a way. It's really bizarre. Every episode has a science fiction sort of concept in the middle of it, But it's not so much about the concept, it's about how it affects the people. The first story, for example, called Loop, is about this young girl who lives in the town. Her mother works at the Loop and she wants to know what her mother's doing. But it's sort of a time travel thing to it because she goes to try and meet her mother and is told that her mother doesn't work there. And then she meets a woman who turns out is her as an adult. It's like a sort of a, it's not explained exactly how it's happened, but she.
Timey wimey.
It is. I was hoping you wouldn't say that because we nobody ever needs to say that again. But it's
I only say it because I know
it. Well, yeah. Lucky you're not there.
it gets
I'd be slapping you in the face right now.
to. Yeah, I feel like one of those keyboard warriors,
Yeah.
one of the online
Yeah.
warriors.
Well,
I can say what I want.
please stop it. Stop it. So you and you get and the second story then is a sort of a body swap story where these two kids discover this strange device in the woods. They step inside it and they find they can swap their personalities into their bodies. But the stories aren't about that. It's about them and how the characters deal with these weird things. It's quite surreal. It's otherworldly. Watch it. And it's very slow, very mannered. It's got the sort of
Very much probably not my cup of tea.
absolutely. You would hate it. I guarantee you would hate it. It's a shame you haven't watched it because I would have loved to hear you rant about it. And
Impatient young pup that I
I
am.
watched two or three episodes and I thought this is so slow, but I'm intrigued by it because it's so different. I was expecting something like Amazing Stories or Black Mirror or even Inside Number 9 where you get a fast sort of clever story propelled by the idea, but it's not like that at all. And after about three episodes, I don't know, I'm enjoying it, but I'm just drawn in by the strange style of it. It's very, let's say, very slow paced, very languid. There's one particular episode which I watched. The main stars of it basically are Jonathan Pryce, who you'll remember from things like Brazil, Tomorrow Never Dies, great British character actor. He's the bloke who's actually in charge of the loop. It's all his idea to use this Hadron Collider to find out what it can do. And there's an episode, I think it's episode four. And spoiler for people who haven't watched it, his character discovers he's only got a short time to live, and he's got a very close bond with his grandson. And there's the only sort of fantasy idea is right at the end of the episode, and it's all about life after death. Beautifully performed, beautifully mannered, very nice. And I watched that episode and I thought, actually, there's something about this which is sort of drawing me in because I was going to give it up after two or three episodes. I've now watched six, and it's interesting. It's not for everybody. You know, if you're wanting something fast-paced and exciting, this is not for you. But it's a beautiful piece of television, but it's very, you have to sort of watch it and watch it for what it is, not what you want it to be. So if you're looking for something thought-provoking, it is one of those shows that you sort of think about after, think, oh, there's really interesting character stuff in that, but it is not for everyone. So I would say to you, Scott, don't go anywhere near it because it just would not be your cup of tea at all. Not for any other reason than the fact that you would just get exasperated by it. I, for some reason, and I think you get exasperated halfway through the first episode and give up. I was watching it because I was reviewing it for a piece for the Starburst website, and I just emailed them and said, "Look, can I just review two or three of these because it's so dull? It must be what a coma feels like." So they said, "Yeah, fine, just give us an idea of what it's like." But as I got into it, after about two or three episodes, I suddenly got the feeling for the pace of it and what it was trying to do, and that it
Yeah.
isn't a science fiction series as such. It's a series about people and how they live in a strange environment where slightly strange things happen on that basis. After about episode four, I suddenly thought, "I'm getting the feel for this now." So I've watched six of them now. I'm probably going to watch them all. There's only two more to go. They're all about 50, 55 minutes. They're not a massive commitment of time. And if you're looking for something that's not like Black Mirror and it's not like Creepshow or any of these sort of higher concept action-y things, this will work for you. I mean, you won't like it. It's as simple as that. I know that you will just get exasperated halfway through the first episode because, yes, nothing really happens. But I just find that nothing happens so nicely done and it's so atmospheric and moody and artistic, I suppose. It's reflecting the fact that it's based on a series of paintings.
Artsy
Artifarty, I suppose, is one way of summing it up. Yeah, it is because it's based on a series of paintings and it's a work of art, I suppose, in the way that they're works of art. So I think if anybody who's listening is intrigued by it, give it a look. But you need to give it, it'll take you two or three episodes to understand the pace of it, once you understand that it's not about spectacle. There's lots of really weird sort of images because this town is full of abandoned robots and experiments that have been sort of cast aside because they didn't work. And some of these things suddenly start to work. And it's just odd. It's very odd. It's unique. I've never seen anything quite like it before. But once I've got the feel for it, I'm sort of, I don't even know if enjoying is the right word, appreciating it. It's not something that it's clearly, as I say, it's not for everybody, but it's sort of working for me in a peculiar way. Now, I don't know if I'd want a second series of it because I don't know what else it can do. But I think if you want something a bit different in the terms of short stories, it's worth a look. But as I say, definitely not for you, Scott, because you would become totally exasperated for it. The basis of
Fair
it,
enough.
don't even go there. Don't even go there. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 because it is something a bit different. And again, it makes you realize how lucky we are to have all these streaming services because this wouldn't be made by one of the American networks because it's just too odd and it's too different. But the streaming, services allow strange things to be made and people to try them. So, I give them a big salute for doing something very different. And as I say, it will be an acquired taste. And I think I've acquired it and I'm going to finish it because it sort of caught me in its charm somehow.
Sure.
It's a very hard show to define. You just have to try it. So if anybody out there fancies giving it a go, we've all got time on our hands. Have a look, and you might find it sort of works its magic on you. It's different. So that's Tales from the Loop, which is on Amazon Prime at this very moment, 8 episodes, and it's just very one of the most unusual series I've seen. I'm sure that Scott's not going to say, "Oh, I'll give it a look," because I don't think he
I
will.
won't. I won't give it a look.
No, don't. Honestly, you don't. It would, I'm not saying that it's because you wouldn't appreciate it. I just don't think you'd like it. It's not something that would appeal to you because of the pace of it. It is very odd, very odd. Well, after all that, I think it's time for something that is much more your thing. I think it's time for your Games Corner.
Games Corner. I felt better after doing
Yeah, I felt worse.
that.
So what have you been wasting your time on? What have you been playing, Scott?
I have been wasting my. I mean, playing, you cheeky monkey. I have been spending time playing Resident Evil 3 Remake.
Ooh, tell us more.
Now, we all know the Resident Evil films exist, but when it comes to the computer game world, those films are utter trash. Resident Evil 3 originally released back in 1999 on the first PlayStation console, and it used all the classic sort of control styles and such like that. Last year, we had the Resident Evil 2 remake, which this takes a big sort of vibe on, and sort of carries it on with that. So the benefit of this game now is that we get to try the second one in nicer graphics. And nicer graphics is certainly what we've got. It's beautiful, really, really nice to look at. It's faster paced, and there's a lot of things going on. Loads of guns and loads of shooting that you can do. So Resident Evil 3 was released in 1999 for the original PlayStation. We had a remake of Resident Evil 2 last year, which went down really, really well. So naturally, they were going to do Resident Evil 3 remake. Playing it was a pure joy of zombie horror experience. Nice to see the return of Jill Valentine in nicer graphics. Nice to see the main thing that we want to see in this Resident Evil 3 is a creature called Nemesis, which actually turned up in one of the films. Now, Nemesis is this hulking, deformed creature that is hunting down STARS members. So STARS are like a police force. And he's hunting down the STARS members that were a part of the original zombie outbreak. It's very, very fast-paced, very intense. And it's a great game, and I would highly recommend it. There is a massive drawback to it, is that the game, especially if you play it on easy mode, you're probably looking at about 2 hours to 3 hours worth of gameplay.
What?
After playing through the game, I play it on the harder difficulty. That I always do that because I get more out of the game, and it took me 7 hours to complete. Not in one sitting, spaced out over time.
I should think so too.
I went on to the easier difficulty, and it took me 2 hours to complete.
Is that good?
Then two hours is not a good length of time for a game, no.
Too long.
Too short.
Oh, lovely.
2 hours. A lot of games these days, you're looking at anywhere 10 hours over.
Oh, get out of my face. That's ridiculous.
Well, there's a game coming out tonight called, it's Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's probably going to take about 30 hours. The original Final Fantasy took 60 hours to complete. So, you know, got to get your money's worth. But this game, I was able to complete it after unlocking everything and doing the last run through. So I had the game 100% complete. I was able to do it in 1 hour and 6 minutes.
Okay.
Which is really, really not a long time. So the game is short.
Yeah.
But the actual gameplay, the mechanics, the graphics, the way the game runs is brilliant. And I would highly, highly recommend playing it. Now, it does have a £60 price tag to it.
How much?
£60. Which is pretty industry standard for games these days. Luckily, like I say, I'm connected with my brother's PlayStation, so we go halves on all the games, so saves you money. But the game does come with a little perk called Resident Evil Resistance. Now, this is a 5-player isometrical game where 4 people play as survivors, and 1 person plays as the mastermind. Or the master, if you want to go Doctor Who style. And the aim of the game is the 4 survivors have to make it through this sort of gauntlet of situation, while all the while the mastermind is creating zombies to attack the people. So the mastermind has to kill these 4 survivors by putting down different kind of monsters and zombies to stop them from achieving their goals, while the 4 survivors have to fight through them to achieve the goal. It did release on a beta, and the beta was, for lack of a better word, bollocks. It was awful. But thankfully, the actual game release was 100% worth it. So if you played the beta and thought, I am not getting this, I would recommend it now because the game is fixed. I mean, it's kind of set at an odd time because these games were originally released and dated in 1998. But for this game to come out now with this whole coronavirus, and this is all about the T virus,
right.
Which is, you know, zombie, you know, infections and things like that. So I was quite surprised they were allowed to release it, really, I have to be honest. Yeah. But, you know, there's not a great deal of references. But it does pump you with adrenaline when you're running away from Nemesis, who's just this deformed, massive. He's, whenever he turns up, you can't help but let out a little whimper because he's going to hit you. There are all sorts of like bug creatures, Hulk, you know, kind of hunched over green things and stuff like that. So really good game, really short game, but the multiplayer definitely makes up the price tag.
Okay.
So I recommend getting it, giving it a go, and see how you do. As already mentioned, Resident Evil, I would give a good 7 out of 10 rating.
Okay.
Tonight at midnight is the release of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Unless you're one of the lucky ones that somehow there was a massive fault in the distribution and many, many copies have already been sent out.
Good Lord.
Some people have already played and completed the game, as far as I'm aware. Well, the game's not actually meant to be officially released yet. So as you can imagine, some people are a little bit frustrated. But the game is released tonight on the stores and such, so very much looking forward to that.
Tonight being, it's April the 9th now, so it's midnight, April the 9th, it's officially released.
Yes. Yes. That's a good idea. Tell them what day it is, because that's a great tonight, idea. So midnight, by the time you listen to this, I probably would have played it, and I will do a little review for it as well.
Because I do need people to tell me what day it is most of the time these days.
Yeah, but it is all morphing into one, really, isn't it? Last thing I want to mention is a fun little app that I've showed Paul, and this is for all you singers and thespians out there. So, if you haven't heard of Smule, the app called Smule, it's a fun little app where you basically sing songs with people from around the world. Now you can either do it live or video, or you can do it not live and people can rejoin and sing the second part. It's like a karaoke in your home. So it's just a little something extra to keep you occupied while you're stuck indoors. Smule that you can get on the Android app store and I'm pretty sure the Apple store. Download it, sing a couple of songs. You can even do voice acting segments. So there's loads from Disney, Doctor Who and stuff like that. Where you just it'll give you the lines, you read them out as you want to, and then somebody else will jump in and join you. I know I've showed Paul this, so I'm waiting for him to give a Doctor Who one a go so I can join
I
him.
haven't got around. I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to get around to it yet, but I will.
You will. Well, the thing is, I just think it's something else to keep people occupied while you're indoors. There is a VIP option which you get a trial at the start, so you can basically do everything. After a bit, then the VIP option goes, and you can only join people. It is a bit pricey, mind.
There's always a catch.
Yeah, I mean, you can still do it non-VIP. You just have less to do. But I think for a week, it's a tenner.
Okay.
So it's quite pricey considering most things give you a month for a tenner or less. So Resident Evil 3, give it a go. But be warned, it can be finished quite quickly.
Right.
Fantasy 7, looking forward to playing that. Let me know what you think. And Smule, if you do have a go, message me on Facebook or what have you. Send me a Smule name. We'll sing a song together.
That's an offer nobody could refuse.
Exactly. You should,
Yeah,
but
I
you
probably will. I've just got so much on at the moment. Unfortunately, I probably won't be able to join in. But best wishes to you and all your kin. That's what I say.
And anyone that makes the bloody sound
What I
boxes.
call a games corner. Hell of a games corner that was.
Hell of a games corner, return of the games
That's
corner.
right. Let's move on to a quick obituary. Just a few words about the late great Honor Blackman, who passed away fairly recently on April 5th. An absolute legend, really. For best known, I suppose, from her role as Kathy Gale in the Avengers, the first Avengers girl, 1962 to 1964.
Not the Marvel
Not the
ones.
Marvel ones, no. The proper up the original Avengers, John Steed, and Kathy Gale as Honor Blackman as Kathy Gale, and she was an enormous feminist icon, I suppose, a really a sort of a leather-clad, kick-ass, independent woman of the type you didn't get on television back in the early 60s. So a hugely iconic, trailblazing character, and it was that role that led to her playing Pussy Galore in the Goldfinger a couple of years later. Then she went on to have an incredible career throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s, all sorts of films and television. She even did an inevitable stint in Doctor Who in 1986 in Terror of the Vervoids, part of the Trial of the Time Lord season. And she's just an absolute legend. And Bond fans and Avengers fans of classic television and the Bond series will have a very special place for her because she was so iconic and such a incredible figure in the history of fantasy television and fantasy films. I mean, it's amazing to think that when she did Goldfinger, she was 38, which would be considered, ancient, unfortunately, by today's standard for that sort of role. She was 5 years older than Sean Connery, who was Bond. She already had a long career behind her, but she was just a real icon. And she was 95. I believe she passed away of non coronavirus related natural causes, I think. So a good old innings. And I had the pleasure of talking to her a few years ago on a phone interview. I think it was for a Blu-ray release of Goldfinger. And she was lovely, really charming, had a wit about her, great memory of making the film, and just an absolute legend. So we mourn her passing on April 5th. The incredible Honor Blackman. Round of applause. Round of applause.
Oh, long applause. It is sad when these things, happen, though, isn't it?
Well, we keep saying it happens. Eddie Large, of course, from Little and Large, he passed away last week from an illness related to coronavirus. And I know there's a few American, not particularly
Kenny
Kenny
Rogers.
Rogers, of course, a legendary country singer. So, yeah, it's part of life, I'm afraid. But yeah, Honor Blackman in particular, I wanted to mention because she is an absolute legend in so many ways.
Fits into my
I think
legendary
so. Yep.
things.
Let's wrap up with a couple of visits to the cinema.
Movie time.
Let's play the jingle, even though we didn't go to the cinema. Because they're still films. Perhaps we should retitle this Movies at Home rather than the cinema. Yeah. Two films I particularly wanted to see, and I would have gone to see them if they had appeared in the cinema. I think the first one, Vivarium, had a very brief cinema release before the cinemas all shut down. A very interesting film. It's directed by Lorcan Finnegan. It's sort of an Irish film. It's a co-production between Ireland, Denmark and Belgium, which doesn't happen very often. Stars Imogen Poots and Jesse Eisenberg. I'm always wary of Jesse Eisenberg because I find him deeply irritating. Although he's quite tolerable in the Zombieland films, but he's very up and down. You know, sometimes he does get to me a little bit. This is an interesting film, which is about a young couple who one's a teacher and one's a tree surgeon. Strange combination. But they're a young couple setting out on their adventure in life, and they decide that they want to buy a house together, get a house together, and they visit a very weird estate agent who recommends a place called Yonder, which is a new housing estate just outside the city. We don't actually know where the city is. It's all quite unreal because you never know where anything is set. And they go to visit this place called Yonder, and it's this massive estate of rows upon rows of absolutely identical greenhouses, all with these little patches of grass outside, perfect sky, very strange clouds. They decide it's not for them and decide to go home, but they can't get out. They drive round and round. There's no way out. They're sort of trapped. It's a bit like Lost, The Prisoner, those sorts of things with people trapped in an enclosed environment. They can't get away, so they try to make the best of it. So they're in this house. They're trying to find a way out. They realize they're in some sort of strange place. They're being watched, which is what a vivarium is. It's sort of a cage where animals are kept in captivity and watched. They're fed, they get boxes of food left outside the house, so they weeks and months go past, and then all of a sudden they're left a box with a baby in it, and they're told, they sent a message, if you look after the baby you will be released. This baby grows into a young boy very quickly, very weird young boy who doesn't know anything about the world, so they have to try and educate him. Then he becomes an adult very quickly. While all this is going on, the two main characters are coming more and more unhinged. Jesse Eisenberg's character tries to dig a hole in the garden to see if there's anything underneath. Then he discovers something. It's such a weird film. It plays a bit like an extended episode of an anthology thing, like The Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits. Just ordinary people in a weird situation. And it just gets extremely weird, weirder and weirder. I thought it was a terrific film, really bizarre. It's quite.
I do like Jesse Eisenberg when he's not playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Much
I think, and I think that role has sort of coloured me against him in a way. It's something about his slightly whining, sort of nasal New York voice that really irritates me. But he downplays it in this because he's just an ordinary bloke who's completely out of his depth. It's not very dialogue heavy. It's all about them trying to come to terms with a strange place that they're trapped in, and it just gets very, very surreal and very ambiguous. And it's if you're looking for a happy sort of upbeat film, this isn't it, but it's fascinating. I was just riveted by it. Really unusual film, and it'll, you know, I don't know if we're going to get many other films released this year, but I think this will be somewhere in my top 10 because it is one that stayed with me because it's just so weird. And like I say, it is reminiscent of things like Lost and all those sorts of, you know, people trapped in an enclosed space things, but it's sort of psychological. It's about the breakdown of their relationship and their personalities as they sort of drift into madness. And you know, is what they're experiencing real or is it a fantasy? It's really unusual and well worth tracking down. So if you get a chance to look at it, Scott, I would go and have a look at it, see what you think of it, because it's something a bit different. I give it 8 out of 10. Yeah, it's not bad for a film that, you know, you might not have heard of. I also managed to watch The Hunt, which was The Hunt. This is quite controversial because it was due to come out last September, but it was pulled because of a number of these mass shootings that they had in August in America. So Universal decided to delay the release of it. Unfortunately, they delayed it too long. It sort of came out and then was pulled because of the pandemic. But obviously, as films are now, it made its way onto streaming. It's an unusual film. It's, again, it's a familiar idea of a group of ordinary people being hunted. We've had this before in various films and TV over the years, but this is quite unusual. It sort of pits itself as a social satire about this privileged elite who capture ordinary people who they call deplorables, and they just let them grow on this estate and hunt them down. They blow them up, they shoot them, they torture them, they do terrible things to them. And behind it all is a conspiracy about who's responsible for all this. This businesswoman, is she responsible for it, or is it all a joke? And it's interesting. I don't think it's quite as satirical as it thinks it is, because it becomes sort of a hunt film where a couple of the characters who survive start to turn the tables and find out who's responsible, and they hunt the hunters, if you like. So it's fairly predictable, and I think it's trying to make points about American class system and the privileged society, but I think it loses it because it's too focuses too much on the action and the blood and the gore. But it's very entertaining. It's sort of a rubbishy potboiler, but if you want something that's just a bit of, it is really, it thinks it isn't, but it is fairly mindless. But it's worth a look. It's about 90 minutes. It's called The Hunt, and it's available now on various streaming services. And I give that 6 out of 10. So again,
six. It's still not bad. It's better than
if average. You have a chance in the next week or so, if you're not spending hours upon hours upon hours playing computer games, have a look and let us know what you think in the next episode. How does that sound?
I will promise nothing. Final Fantasy VII is going to take up a lot of my time. I'm very, very. Thing is, Final Fantasy VII is a game that I adored back in
Bored
the
now.
90s.
Bored now.
Yeah, I've had my games corner, haven't I?
Come on, don't get carried away. So there we are. I think that's probably all for this particular episode, don't you think?
I think so. I will
Yeah.
get to editing and see how it sounds. This is our first ever lockdown special, and recording it differently
Yep.
to what we're used to. Hopefully, it will all sound right. Everybody can enjoy and listen. Sorry, it's been so long since we've been away, but there have been complications and illnesses. But from myself, Scott Holmes, please remain safe. Stay indoors if can be helped. Look after your loved ones and neighbors, and
Be
just be
careful out there.
careful.
Yeah, hope this sounds okay. You'll have to make allowances, as I said, for the circumstances in which we're putting the show together, but we're going to try and do something every week. In the meantime, we've got coming up tonight on the Dave channel, Red Dwarf, The Promised Land, 90-minute special episode, which we will be reviewing in the next episode, Scott. We will be reviewing it, hint, hint. And also, there is a new series coming.
I'm going to get that show. I
I
missed. I'm
think
not sure
you'll
if I want to
watch
watch
it.
it now.
There's also a new series called Devs, which is starting on BBC Two next week, which is from Alex Garland. And it seems to be in the vein of that film Ex Machina a few years ago about artificial intelligence and androids and things, which is supposed to be quite good. So we'll have a look at that at some point. So plenty of stuff for us to catch up with and for you to catch up with. And we'll talk about them in the next episode. Don't forget, if you want to contact us, let us know what you think of this lockdown special episode. We've done our best on this. You can contact us at tvzoneplus@mail.com or look out for our Facebook page. Until then, this is me signing out. As Scott says, look after yourselves, be careful out there, stay indoors, and hopefully we'll see you in the next week or so. Say goodbye, Scott. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Scott. Bye.
You have been listening to TV Zone Plus, hosted by Paul Mount and Scott Holmes.